The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Part 4, continuing with Chapter 18, Faith and Shakti, page 776. The progress of the yoga is a procession from the mental ignorance through imperfect formations to a perfect foundation and increasing of knowledge, and in its more satisfying positive parts, a movement from light to greater light, and it cannot cease till we have the greatest light of the supramental knowledge. The motions of the mind in its progress must necessarily be fixed with a greater or lesser proportion of error, and we should not allow our faith to be disconcerted by the discovery of its errors, or imagine that because the beliefs of the intellect which aided us were too hasty and positive, therefore the fundamental faith in the soul was invalid. The human intellect is too much afraid of error, precisely because it is too much attached to a premature sense of certitude and a too hasty eagerness for positive finality in which it seems to seize of knowledge. As our self-experience increases, we shall find that our errors even were necessary movements, brought with them and left their element or suggestion of truth, and helped towards a discovery or supported a necessary effort, and that the certitudes we have now to abandon had yet their temporary validity in the progress of our knowledge. The intellect cannot be a sufficient guide in the search for spiritual truth and realization, and yet it has to be utilized in the integral movement of our nature. And while, therefore, we have to reject paralyzing doubt or mere intellectual skepticism, the seeking knowledge has to be trained to admit a certain large questioning, an intellectual rectitude not satisfied with half-truths, mixtures of error, or approximations, and, most positive and helpful, a perfect readiness always to move forward from truths already held and accepted to the greater corrective, completing or transcending truths which at first it was unable or, it may be, disinclined to envisage. A working faith of the intellect is indispensable, not a superstitious, dogmatic, or limiting credence attached to every temporary support or formula, but a large assent to the successive suggestions and steps of the Shakti, a faith fixed on realities, moving from the lesser to the completer realities, and ready to throw down all scaffolding and keep only the large and growing structure. A constant Shraddha, faith, assent of the heart and the life too are indispensable. But while we are in the lower nature, the heart's assent is colored by mental emotion, and the life movements are accompanied by their trail of perturbing or straining desires, and mental emotion and desire tend to trouble, alter more or less grossly or subtly, or distort the truth, and they always bring some limitation and imperfection into its realization by the heart and life. The heart, too, when it is troubled in its attachments and its certitudes, perplexed by throwbacks and failures and convictions of error, or involved in the wrestlings which attend a call to move forward from its assured positions, has its draggings, wearinesses, sorrowings, revolts, reluctances which hamper the progress. It must learn a larger and surer faith, giving in the place of the mental reactions a calm or a moved spiritual acceptance to the ways and the steps of the Shakti, which is in its nature the ascent of a deepening ananda to all necessary movements, and a readiness to leave old moorings and move always forward towards the delight of a greater perfection. The life mind must give its assent to the successive motives, impulsions, activities of the life imposed on it by the guiding power as aids or fields of the development of the nature and to the successions also of the inner yoga. But it must not be attached or call a halt anywhere, but must always be prepared to abandon old urgency and accept with the same completeness of assent new, higher movements and activities. And it must learn to replace desire by a wide and bright ananda in all experience and action. The faith of the heart and the life mind, like that of the intelligence, must be capable of a constant correction, enlarging, and transformation. This faith is essentially the secret shraddha of the soul, and it is brought more and more to the surface and there satisfied, sustained, and increased by an increasing assurance and certainty of spiritual experience. Here, too, the faith in us must be unattached, a faith that waits upon truth and is prepared to change and enlarge its understanding of spiritual experiences, to correct mistaken or half-true ideas about them and receive more enlightening interpretations, to replace insufficient by more sufficient intuitions, and to merge experiences that seemed at the time to be final and satisfying in more satisfying combinations with new experience and greater largenesses and transcendences. And especially in the psychical and other middle domains, there is a very large room for the possibility of misleading and often captivating error. And here, even a certain amount of positive skepticism has its use, and at all events, a great caution and scrupulous intellectual rectitude, but not the skepticism of the ordinary mind, which amounts to a disabling denial. In the integral yoga, psychical experience, especially of the kind associated with what is often called occultism, and savors of the miraculous, should be altogether subordinated to spiritual truth and wait upon that for its own interpretation, illumination, and sanction. But even in the purely spiritual domain, there are experiences which are partial and, however attractive, only receive their full validity, significance, or right application when we can advance to a fuller experience. And there are others which are, in themselves, quite valid and full and absolute, but, if we confine ourselves to them, will prevent other sides of the spiritual truth from manifestation and mutilate the integrality of the yoga. Thus, the profound and absorbing quietude of impersonal peace, which comes by the stilling of the mind, is a thing in itself complete and absolute. But if we rest in that alone, it will exclude the companion absolute, not less great and needed and true, of the bliss of the divine action. Here, too, our faith must be an assent that receives all spiritual experience, but with a wide openness and readiness for always more light and truth, an absence of limiting attachment, and no such clinging to forms as would interfere with the forward movement of the Shakti towards the integrality of the spiritual being, consciousness, knowledge, power, action, and the wholeness of the one and the multiple ananda. The faith demanded of us, both in its general principle and its constant particular application, amounts to a large and ever-increasing and a constantly purer, fuller, and stronger ascent of the whole being and all its parts to the presence and guidance of God and the Shakti. The faith in the Shakti, as long as we are not aware of and filled with her presence, must necessarily be preceded, or at least accompanied, by a firm and virile faith in our own spiritual will and energy, and our power to move successfully towards unity and freedom and perfection. Man is given faith in himself, his ideas and his powers, that he may work and create and rise to greater things, and in the end, bring his strength as a worthy offering to the altar of the Spirit. This Spirit, says the Scripture, is not to be won by the weak, nayamatma balahinena labhya. All paralyzing self-distrust has to be discouraged. All doubt of our strength to accomplish, for that is a false assent to impotence, an imagination of weakness, and a denial of the omnipotence of the Spirit. A present incapacity, however heavy may seem its pressure, is only a trial of faith, and a temporary difficulty, and to yield to the sense of inability is for the seeker of the integral yoga a nonsense. For his object is a development of a perfection that is there already, latent in the being, because man carries the seed of the divine life in himself, in his own spirit. The possibility of success is involved and implied in the effort, and victory is assured, because behind is the call and guidance of an omnipotent power. At the same time, this faith in oneself must be purified from all touch of rajasic egoism and spiritual pride. The sadhaka should keep as much as possible in his mind the idea that his strength is not his own, in the egoistic sense, but that of the divine universal Shakti, and whatever is egoistic in his use of it, must be a cause of limitation, and in the end an obstacle. The power of the divine universal Shakti, which is behind our aspiration, is illimitable, and when it is rightly called upon, it cannot fail to pour itself into us and to remove whatever incapacity and obstacle, now or later. For the times and durations of our struggle, while they depended first, instrumentally and in part, on the strength of our faith and our endeavor, are yet eventually in the hands of the wisely determining secret spirit, alone the master of the yoga, the Ishwara. The faith in the divine Shakti must be always at the back of our strength, and when she becomes manifest, it must be or grow implicit and complete. There is nothing that is impossible to her who is the conscious power and universal goddess, all creative from eternity, and armed with the Spirit's omnipotence. All knowledge, all strengths, all triumph and victory, all skill and works are in her hands, and they are full of the treasures of the Spirit and of all perfections and siddhis. She is Maheshwari, goddess of the supreme knowledge, and brings to us her vision for all kinds and widenesses of truth, her rectitude of the spiritual will, the calm and passion of her supramental largeness, her felicity of illumination. She is Mahakali, goddess of the supreme strength, and with her are all mights and spiritual force, and severest austerity of tapas and swiftness to the battle and the victory, and the laughter, the atahasya, that makes light of defeat and death and the powers of the ignorance. She is Mahalakshmi, the goddess of the supreme love and delight, and her gifts are the spirit's grace and the charm and beauty of the Ananda and protection and every divine and human blessing. She is Mahasaraswati, the goddess of divine skill and of the works of the spirit, and hers is the yoga that is skill in works, yoga karmasu kaushalam, and the utilities of divine knowledge and the self-application of the spirit to life and the happiness of its harmonies. And in all her powers and forms, she carries with her the supreme sense of the masteries of the eternal Ishwari, a rapid and divine capacity for all kinds of action that may be demanded from the instrument. Oneness, a participating sympathy, a free identity with all energies in all beings, and therefore a spontaneous and fruitful harmony with all the divine will in the universe. The intimate feeling of her presence and her powers, and the satisfied assent of all our being to her workings in and around it, is the lost perfection of faith in the Shakti. And behind her is the Ishwara, and faith in him is the most central thing in the Shraddha of the integral yoga. This faith we must have and develop to perfection, that all things are the workings under the universal conditions of a supreme self-knowledge and wisdom, that nothing done in us or around us is in vain or without its appointed place and just significance, that all things are possible when the Ishwara as our supreme self and spirit takes up the action, and that all that has been done before and all that he will do hereafter was and will be part of his infallible and foreseeing guidance and intended towards the fruition of our yoga and our perfection and our life work. This faith will be more and more justified as the higher knowledge opens. We shall begin to see the great and small significances that escaped our limited mentality, and faith will pass into knowledge. Then we shall see beyond the possibility of doubt that all happens within the working of the one will, and that that will was also wisdom, because it develops always the true workings in life of the self and nature. The highest state of the ascent, the Shraddha of the being, will be when we feel the presence of the Ishwara and feel all our existence and consciousness and thought and will and action in his hand, and consent in all things and with every part of ourself and nature to the direct and imminent and occupying will of the spirit. And that highest perfection of the Shraddha will also be the opportunity and perfect foundation of a divine strength. It will base, when complete, the development and manifestation and the works of the luminous supramental Shakti. End of chapter 18. Faith and the Shakti. Page 782.